Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 11 says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." A number of weeks ago, I felt an inspiration out of Revelation 5 and verse 12. These seven things that need to be presented unto the Lamb. And it's not really a series, seven-week series, although it is in some respects, but every message is so individual in itself. It's more than a series of messages. It's like a string of pearls. And, you know, the Bible says that we are to put an ornament around our neck. And this morning you may want to add another charm to your necklace and charm the Lord, that you wear these seven with honor and with glory for the Lord. The Bible says the Lord is worthy of power and riches and wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. We looked at the first four in the last few weeks, and today I want to speak on honor. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor from his people. That the Lamb would sense honor coming from the people of God, from his church, from his bride, from his people. I'm sure we all recognize this morning that in ourselves we are unfit and unable to bring forth the honor that the Lamb really deserves. And so we cast ourselves on the Holy Spirit, that he could come and do this holy work in us and fulfill this holy task in our lives where we bring forth honor unto the Lord. Let's begin with Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The word of the Lord through the prophet to the people of God. The Lord speaking, he said, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence?" Or the King James says, "Where is my fear?" says the Lord of hosts. "To you priests who despise my name, you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, among the nations. In every place incense of worship and prayer shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. My name shall be great among the nations of the earth." As we look at verses 6 to 10, we are reading a sad commentary on the Christians of Malachi's time. That they said it's weary, it's tiresome to go to church, it's burdensome to stand in the house of the Lord and lift our hands and worship God. It's heavy for us to give ourselves to the presence of the Lord, his house, and everything he demands from us as his people. It's difficult. We're tired. We don't want to go to church. It's wearisome to pray and to spend hours in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, I see that heart, but I want to say this morning that God, in verse 11, because we can't stop at verse 10, we've got to go on to verse 11, because God is raising up in all the world a people that say, it is not inconvenient to serve the Lord. In fact, it's our delight. It's a blessing to praise the Lord. We long to be in His house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God says, that's what kind of spirit is going to be among the nations of the world. They're going to desire to be in God's presence, desire to be in His house, to be under the Word. I was glad when they said unto me, you mean it's Sunday morning? You mean it's Tuesday night? I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within your gates, O heavenly Jerusalem, the local church, as it's represented throughout the world. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact, that's united powerfully and strengthened together in the presence of the Lord. Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony, unto the word of God in Israel. This is where we come to receive from the Lord. This is where we come to receive His blessing and His word and His strength and His miracles and His life into us. Hallelujah. What a glorious day that we can fulfill. Malachi 1 verse 11. God says, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, my name is going to be praised in the nations of the world. And they're going to bring incense. They're going to delight to bring me praises and worship. And they're going to bring me offerings out of a glad heart and a cheerful heart. And they will serve me with all their honor, with all their desire, with all their love. What a privilege we have to bring to the Lamb honor, to pour out honor unto the Lord. Martin Luther taught us these words. He said, God loves the obedient, not the caviling. God loves the obedient, not the caviling. To cavil means to put forth petty excuses and trivial and unnecessary objections before the Lord. God loves the obedient, not the caviling. Those who bring forth petty excuses, those who bring forth unnecessary objections. I'm tired this morning. I don't feel like going to church. I'm under burden. It's been a busy week. I've had a hard day. I've got a lot of circumstances. God loves the obedient, not the caviling. And what a word that is, that we would shuck off our petty excuses, that we would shuck off our unnecessary objections and serve the Lord with all our heart, with all honor and delight. Hallelujah. Malachi 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? If I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Honor and fear are set in parallel. They're set in parallel, which means to say one is to say the other. Honor and fear before the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and fear. This loving honor and reverential fear from His people. I want to remind you that honor is something that we give. And honor is that which we give and we tell somebody how we feel about them. Honor is something that is given. Honor is something that is given to make somebody feel a certain thing from the giver of that gift. And in my heart, I want to give the Lord honor. In my life, I want to give the Lord honor. I want Him to know how I feel about Him. A wise son, the Bible says, makes a glad father. A wise son makes a glad father. We should, from time to time, consider the emotion of God. That this is something that we should not pass over lightly. The emotion of God is real. God created us in His image. We have emotions. Now, some of our emotions are sullied by the principle of sin and the effects of life, but our God is pure in His emotions. His emotions are entirely holy and right and wonderful. He created us in His image. Our God has wonderful emotions. He is alive. He is the living God. Our God is of tender feeling, the Bible says. He is of great compassion and mercy. He's of great kindness. He's a man of sorrow. There are things that break His heart and He weeps. It says Jesus, the exact representation of the Father, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, over the people of Israel. He said, "How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't come to me?" How often throughout the history of Israel did He want them to come, generation after generation, come to My presence, and they rejected Him. And as He was on Jerusalem's hill, tears ran down His face. The night of the Last Supper, as He was facing the cross, there was a point in the fellowship with His disciples, the 12, that all of a sudden his spirit was troubled. He was distressed, and He said, one of you will betray Me tonight. One of you will betray Me. He felt compassion. How many times the Scripture says He was moved with compassion? He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Moved with compassion, that deep and tender feeling, troubled in spirit, yearning to help His people. That's the emotion. That's the love of God toward us. That's the care of God. The Bible said He rejoiced in spirit. He dances for joy. Zephaniah said He will rest upon us in His love. He will joy over us with singing. What a delight we can bring into His heart. What a blessing we can bring to make His heart glad, to bring Him honor, to bring Him this reverence and awe before His presence. What a glorious and beautiful character and presentation of the emotion of God. If we can rejoice His heart, if we can delight His heart, it is equally true that we can break His heart. We can break His heart. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by our attitudes and by our actions, by our disregard for the Lord, by our disinterest in the things of the Lord. We can grieve the heart of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord and the Holy Spirit, they withdraw because they're so gentle. They're so pure. We can grieve the heart of God. My, but when the prodigal returns, Bible says that the Lord runs to meet the prodigal and falls on his neck and begins to kiss his neck and weep over him. That's the joy. That is God in our lives. That's the wonderful emotion of God. He is intimate with His people. The Lord is intimate with His people, and He is a jealous lover. The words over Jesus, twice in His life, as the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This morning, that we would give the Lord honor, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor, that we would let the Lamb know how we feel about Him, pour out our honor to Him. David Wilkerson, an excerpt, wrote of those whose obedience springs out of a desire to please God. They say, "I wouldn't do anything to hurt My Father. I love Him. I've already forsaken the world and its lust to go after Him whom my heart desires. Show me what He wants, not just what He forbids. I want His heart's desire to become my actions. I want to know His mind and obey it. Sure, I love His law, but that's for the lawless, for those who haven't come into a knowledge of intimacy with Christ. I have another law at work in my heart. It's the law of love, one that says, 'Lord, what can I do to please You today?'" Hallelujah. What can I do to please you? The law of love. I don't want to do anything to hurt my Father, to bring disgrace to him. I don't want to do anything to hurt my precious Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want anything in my life today that would grieve the Holy Spirit in any way, but to bring forth the honor, to bring forth the reverence that he deserves. In Luke chapter 7, we have a wonderful story. Jesus was at dinner at a Pharisee's house. The Pharisee, so orderly, so proper, so rigid. And a sinner woman came in. A sinner woman came in. Luke 7:37 says, "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil." That's honor. A woman that comes, so honoring of the Lord, so having him in esteem and position in her life. And she came and brought the oil and poured it out, anointed his feet, kissed his feet again and again. Luke 7:44 then says, after she had performed this act, then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." This woman, so in need of salvation, so in need of God's mercy, so in need of a restored life. And you may be here this morning, and sin has ravaged your life, and sin has stripped your life. But the Lord will give you a restored life. The Lord will build you up and give you an inheritance among the saints, among the righteous, and eternal glory. Will you come to the presence of the Lord like this woman? Because she saw, she came down at his feet, and she wept over his feet, and she kissed his feet, because in those feet she saw the way of salvation. Those feet brought salvation to her. The Bible says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news, who bring the gospel covenant, who bring the sure mercies of David to the people of the earth. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the gospel." And there's no one who brought the gospel in a greater way than Jesus Christ our Lord. At those feet, she saw the path of life. She saw the way to walk. Those feet, they showed her heaven's road. And she poured out her adoration. She poured out her love. What an offering. What an honor. I don't know if we can find a greater illustration of honor in the Word of God than this sinner woman coming to the Lord to pour out in his presence. Honor and honor's reward. Honor and the reward in her life. And the Lord took her. Lord took her. "Simon, you didn't even wash my feet. You didn't provide for me. But this woman has given everything and poured out everything she has. She poured out fragrant oil." And then we have the story of Mary in John chapter 12, just before the crucifixion of Christ. John 12:3, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, that beautiful family that Jesus was very close to. And as Jesus was in the house of Simon the leper, disciples were standing around and other men were standing around. But it says Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Matthew 26, 7 says, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrance, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Mary came through. I mean, she must have taken a deep breath to walk into the presence of Jesus and all those disciples and the men of the house. But she says, I have to go. I have to pour out some love and adoration on my Lord. She poured the fragrant oil on his head. She recognized his authority, his lordship. You are Lord of my life, she was saying. I honor your headship in my life. I'm not my own. I'm yours. I don't make my own decisions. I walk your way. And she poured out the ointment upon his feet, that fragrant oil, saying, you are the way of life for me. I will follow you. I walk where your feet will walk. She poured it all out. Others were standing in the room, some so calculating with their expression, with their devotion, with their adoration. Others standing there more concerned about their ministries than about the flow and the opportunity to bless the Lord and worship Him and magnify Him. Mary poured it all out. She said, I've got to break this alabaster flask. I've got to break the neck off this flask. I can't have the drops come out just a little at a time. I want there to be a rush of fragrance upon my Lord as I come into his presence and into his house. That's honor. And there's honor's reward. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor. Let's let the Lord know how we feel about him. Let's give him our emotions. Let's give him our adoration. Let's give him our love and affection. Pour it all out to him, for he is so worthy, so worthy. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The wisdom of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the realm where we step into the kingdom of God, into the wonders of the kingdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the starting point. It's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is like it opens the door into the knowledge. It opens the door into the wisdom of God. And I have a definition of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is loving honor and reverential awe. The fear of the Lord is loving honor and reverential awe. A deep admiration, love, and respect for the Lord mixed with fear and wonder. Mixed with fear and wonder. The fear of the Lord, loving honor, and reverential awe. A deep admiration, love, and respect for the Lord mixed with fear and wonder. The love and the fear. The honor and the wonder of the Lord. Now let's look at Genesis 31, 42, where Jacob spoke these words. He said in verse 42 in the Amplified Contemporary, and if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the dread, lest he should fall, and fear, lest he should offend, of Isaac. Jacob called God by the name Isaac had given to God. Isaac called God dread and fear. Loving honor and reverential awe. Fear and wonder. Love and intimacy with the Lord. They go together. That's the fear of the Lord. We're not afraid of God in that sense. We have a high regard for who He is. He is high. He is lifted up. He is separate from sinners. He has a place reserved in the heavens all to Himself. And He's brought us into His love, and here we are. We have a deep respect for the Lord. We have loving honor. We have reverential awe. But Jacob said, I'm going to call God by the name that my father Isaac called him. I'm going to call him as well. He is the dread, lest he should fall. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The way of the transgressor is hard. The judgments of the Lord come upon sin and sinfulness. He's like, I call them, I dread. I always want to be aware that I must walk in holiness and righteousness and obedience. And he said, I call him fear, lest I would offend him in any way. If he had not been with me, surely, he said to Laban, you would have sent me away empty-handed. And then verse 53, but Jacob swore only by the one true God, the dread and fear of his father Isaac. He said, I'm going to enter into an oath with you, Laban, but I'm going to swear. You can swear by your gods, but I'm going to swear by the dread and the fear of Isaac, because that is my God. And that's how I walk before the Lord, the dread and fear of God, the loving honor and the reverential awe. Proverbs 23 and verse 17 says, we are to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now let's look at some glorious promises to those who fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord, those who have that loving honor and that reverential awe before the Lord. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Promise in this verse is long life and length of days. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. It lengthens your life in the earth. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Isn't that true? In the fear of the Lord, when you walk with loving honor to the Lord and reverential awe to him, what happens? There's a confidence in your life, knowing that you're in his care, you're in his hand, that nothing can touch you, that nothing can break your life. You have a confidence that God is leading and guiding, and those circumstances and spiritual warfare and trial and temptation come, you have strong confidence because you have not violated the fear of the Lord in your life, but you have walked honorably and respectfully before the Lord. Therefore, you have confidence no matter what situation of life you face. And God's children will have a place of refuge, a place of refuge from the storm, from trial, from circumstances and difficulty. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. A fountain of life. As we walk in the fear of the Lord, life flows, living waters flow in our life, and they go out, and they water the dry places, and they water the circumstances, and they water the future, and there's fruitfulness, and there's life for us wherever we go, because the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that will open up your future and give you a garden and a paradise to walk in. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. He will not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has it will abide in satisfaction. Those who walk in the fear of the Lord live a satisfied life. There are many today who are unsatisfied. They don't like the circumstances. They don't like the job. They don't like the weather. They don't like the relatives. They don't like the church. They don't like, it seems, anything. Everything has a negative to it because they're not walking in the fear of the Lord. But when you walk in loving honor to the Lord, like the sinner woman, like Mary, and you pour out your worship and heart. And when you walk in reverential awe, lest you offend, lest you would violate the ways of the Lord, there's something that takes place inside of you, and the satisfaction of God goes into your soul, and it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter how, what you're living, you are satisfied because you have the blessing of the Lord as a fountain in your soul. That's the promise to those who fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, finances, and honor, and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. Get ready to walk into your future if you have the fear of the Lord. years of life open up and my riches and honor and life are what I'm experiencing, you'll say. Psalm 112, 1-3, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness, that is his righteous acts, his ministry endures forever. What a glorious promise. The promises of God. Believe the promises of God. Believe the word. Because God is not a man that he should lie. When he says something, he means it and he speaks it. And God said these words, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. Blessed is the man that delights greatly in the word of God, in the commandments of the Lord. His seed will be mighty on the earth. His sons and daughters will walk in strength. They will walk in faith. They will walk in the power of God. Said this, the generation of the upright will be blessed. The blessing of the Lord will overtake for goodness and mercy. Follow me all the days of my life. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that if we follow the Lord with all our heart, that his blessings will overtake us. They'll run us down. They'll pursue us. We can't get away from them. They'll bring us down in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Now, this might not happen in the first few weeks or the first few months or the first few years when you start to fear the Lord and love him with all your heart, but it will come to pass because the word of the Lord is true and the word of the Lord will never lie. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness, your ministry, the ongoing influence of what you've invested in the kingdom will endure forever, and you'll step into your reward in heaven in the glory of God. Luke 1:50, his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. How many need his mercy? His loving kindness, his grace, his provision, his wonder on your life. The Bible says his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. It goes down to sons and daughters. It goes down to grandchildren. It goes down because the Lord's covenant is to 1,000 generations for those who love him and walk before him with a perfect heart. Hallelujah. My, aren't these wonderful promises of the Lord? Bring into obedience every thought to the old captivity of Christ. There are so many other thoughts that want to come against us to break us down, break our faith, break our resolve, break our covenants and commitments. Face lack and we face trial and we face these discouragements, but we must hold to the word of God. We bring our thoughts into captivity and we say, Lord, we believe your word. This is what your word says, and we long for your word. We hunger after your word. We declare your word, and we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, the fear of the Lord, how do we gain it? How do we gain the fear of the Lord? Worship team, come. Number one, it is taught. Psalm 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here this morning teaching us the fear of the Lord. How to walk in loving honor, how to walk in reverential awe of the Lord. The fear of the Lord in our lives is taught. It's taught by preachers and teachers. It's taught by Sunday school teachers. It's taught by fathers and mothers. The fear of the Lord is taught. It has to be instructed into our lives. And so we must get into the Word. And we must get under anointed teachers and preachers of the gospel so we can be taught the fear of the Lord, because the benefits are amazing to those who fear the Lord. And the honor to God is amazing. And that's what we want to give, because worthy is the Lamb to receive. The fear of the Lord is taught. Number two, it is chosen. Proverbs 1:29 speaks of those that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is chosen. It's something every person has to decide for themselves. To say, I'm going to forsake the idols of sin and the world and the flesh. I'm going to forsake my own personality and what I want to do and who I think I want to be. I'm going to choose the fear of the Lord. I'm going to walk before God with loving honor. I'm going to walk before Him with reverence and fear and respect. It's a choice every person has to make. And sadly, some don't make it. They choose the side of foolishness. They choose the side of the world. And they fall into ruin and captivities and darkness. The fear of the Lord is something we have to choose. How many would say this morning, I choose the fear of the Lord. I choose the fear of the Lord for my life. I'm going to walk before God in the fear of the Lord. And number three, it is prayed in. Hallelujah. It is prayed in. You've got to pray it in. Pray it into your life. Call on God. I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not be denied, O Lord. I want your presence. I want your fullness. I want your spirit. I want your anointing in my life, Lord. I want the fear of the Lord in me so that I walk in your fear all day long. I'm sensitive to you. I'm conscious to you. I'm precise about my decisions and about my thoughts and about my imaginations and about temptations and trial and voices that come and circumstances I face, Lord. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You got to pray it in. You got to pray it in. Deepen it in your life. Psalm 86, 10 to 12, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Here it is. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Bring my heart together. Lord, bring the broken pieces of my heart. People have broken my heart. Circumstances and trial, it seems, have broken my heart. Lord, unite my heart. Bring my heart together. Bring all of me together to fear you. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor. This beautiful fear of the Lord, loving honor and reverential awe. Let's take a moment as we're seated this morning. Close yourself in with God. Say, Lord, I want you to know how I feel about you. Like that sinner woman, Lord, I'm breaking open the alabaster box. I'm breaking open my life, Lord, and pouring out my emotion and my devotion and my love and my worship. Lord, I want there to be a rush of anointing out of my life today as I pour out thankfulness upon you. Like Mary, Lord, holding nothing back, down at your feet, I weep. I pour out my love, thankfulness to you. That I might walk before you in the land of the living, Lord. Father God, by your grace, Lord, that I would not do anything that would hurt your heart, would grieve the Holy Spirit. Help me to walk with a tender and pliable spirit before you and always give honor unto your holy name.